Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Big Bad Morning Show brought to you by your Baltimore area Jiffy Lube locations. Joining us right now, courtesy of betonline.ag and the Window Nation's guest hotline, he is Dick Girardi. What's going on this morning?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Doing well, man. Listen, I'm going into this. I'm betting backwards. Forget about who's going to win this thing. Chunk of Gold will finish last place. I'm putting a hundo on it right now.
Oh, I like that. That's one of the great props at Bet Online. You can pick horses to finish last. I love it. I prefer Owen Almighty to finish last of this group. But you know what? Hey, Chunk of Gold has a shot. But it's one of the fun parts of the game, right, that you could actually have a prop bet who finishes last. Forget who finishes first, who finishes last.
Well, that's funny you say, because this is how I'm looking at it. Because I grew up – I love horse racing, by the way. I'm not a handicapper by any stretch, but I love horse racing. It was a thing I bonded with my dad. He loved it. We used to go to Belmont Park in New York. You know, and then when I got old, he would take me as a kid. Then when we got older, we'd put on sport coats in the clubhouse. Love racing. But it was always just, you know, straight bets. You'd bet on, you know, exactas and perfectas, you know, daily doubles. Now, This is so much more fun because there's so many props here. I was actually kind of stunned. I mean, finishing last, I didn't know you could bet on last place finish, but I see you can.
Yep.
And then all these other things like, will there be the winning distance, over under 1.5 lengths, things like that, and the odds for that. A post-race inquiry, you know, I guess a challenge. I didn't realize you could bet on all these things. And it's just some of these, and we should get into some of them. They're fascinating. Yeah, they involve a lot of other things.
The over-under distance is one of my favorite ones at Bet Online. As you said, it's a length and a half. I like journalism, the horse. I obviously like journalism, but the subject, since it was my major at the University of Maryland back in the day. But I like the over a length and a half here because I think journalism is going to win big. So, yeah, that's one of the props at Bet Online I want to get to. And here's one that's really funny, guys. Will winning horse or jockey's name end in a Z? So you have the Ortiz brothers, Jose and Irad. You have John Velasquez. You have Nick Juarez. You had Brian Hernandez. And until yesterday, you had the four-horse Rodriguez. He is now scratched.
Yeah.
But you get all of them. You get the 5, 9, 10, 13, and 17. Any of them wins, you cash one. Will the jockey's name end in a Z? But yeah, prop bets. And it's cool for regular people because they understand it if you're not really into the track. Everybody gets Super Bowl props. They get it. So, yeah, it's a great way to get into the game at betonline.ag. And, of course, you can also bet the normal stuff, like you want to bet somebody to win or whatever you want to do. But, yeah, the prop bets are very cool.
Dick Girardi joins us right now on the fan. The great thing about the Kentucky Derby is, like, I mean, number one, the tradition is unmatched. But, you know, Pimlico, you want to see whether this Triple Crown thing continues. If you have two different winners – then the Belmont is kind of, anticlimactic. I think the thing that I love about the Kentucky Derby is the first thing you want to know is, Who's going to win, and will that horse be able to contend for the Triple Crown? Will there be a Triple Crown winner this year?
Yeah, no question. And that's another prop bet. It's 4-1. You can bet saying any horse is going to win the Triple Crown. To me, that's a little higher than 4-1, so I'm not sure I would recommend it. But, yeah, I mean, the cool thing about the Derby winner, especially for Baltimore, and look, my first track I ever went to was Pimlico. That's my hometown track. I mean, I've been at Philly for all these years, but Baltimore's still home to me. It's the cool thing about the Preakness is it's the first time you see the Derby winner run after he wins the Derby. And, of course, this year is going to be a special Preakness. A, it's 150. And B, obviously, it's the last one at the old Pimlico. I mean, I know you guys know, and most of the listeners know that it's going to be torn down right after this year's Preakness. It'll be at Laurel for a little while, and then they'll rebuild Pimlico. And can't wait to see the new Pimlico.
Yep. And then one of my most interesting ones is, because I'm old and I remember this, was Secretariat, fastest time in Derby history. They say it's the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. That was 159.40 was his. Anybody potentially going to break that record?
I don't think that record's ever getting broken. Frankly, it was such a freak thing. I mean, you're old enough that you remember that. You remember Bob Beamon's long jump at the Mexico City Olympics.
Yes, absolutely.
Where he went like 2 feet longer than the world record. Yeah. That's kind of what that is. It's like Tiger Woods winning the U.S. Open by 15 shots. Just things that just don't happen. So, yeah, that's not a prop that I would get involved in. Nobody's gone under 159.4. And it's interesting you mentioned Secretariat. That was actually my first Preakness. I went and sat. It was the year they opened the infield, and I went, and I'll never forget it. I bet 50 to win on Secretariat, and I was shunned, but boy, I'm a genius. I won $15. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Wow. It's the 151st running of the Kentucky Derby. Dick, tell us we can find the most up-to-date odds and props.
Right, so at betonline.ag, like we said, any of the props we just chatted about, and there's tons of them. I mean, from time, over under on what the winning time will be. And that's something I wouldn't get involved in until you watch a couple races on Saturday. Total time of Grace Potter's national anthem, over under 104.5 seconds. I mean, it's like who's going to win the opening tip in an NBA playoff game. But I mean, it's just wild stuff, and people like to gamble on just about anything. Here's one I like. Who will be seen first, Andy Beshear, who's the governor of Kentucky, or Rick Pitino? I can tell you the answer. It's Andy Beshear, because Rick Pitino is not coming to the Derby. So I know the answer to that prop, so if you can get down on that at BetOnline, do it. It's a definite cash. But you look, I like journalism in the race. I like an 8-9 exact of journalism over Burnham Square. People are just going to bet at the windows, wherever they might be betting on their phones or at Pimlico or wherever tomorrow at Timonium, all the off-track betting places at Laurel during the day, whatever. It's really good Derby, and journalism is a terrific horse, and I think he's going to come to Pimlico with a Derby win in 2 weeks.
Thanks a lot, my friend. Enjoy the Kentucky Derby. I'm sure you will.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
How about it? 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Group of friends mine are going to Pimlico when it comes to town in a couple of weeks. They already planned it out. They asked me last week. I said, nope, I'm good. I've been twice. That's it.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Like every year for almost every year I've lived here.
Been it twice. Ain't my thing.
No, I know.
Ain't my thing.
Well, most of mine were working, but if the last number of years I've been going just with the station.
I watch it every year. I don't like the crowd. I watch it every year. I haven't missed one on television. Cordell Woodland joins us at 9:30, but on the other side, we'll preview the series O's Royals up next on The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
9:16 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. We could just like let this play out and not talk. You know, Michael is speaking. Baltimore Orioles tonight at 7:05 take on the Kansas City Royals. Michael Wacha. I think I said his last name.
Wacha.
He takes on Dean Kramer. Kramer's been struggling this year. He of the 7.04 earned run average. Michael Wacha not struggling this year. 3.38 earned run average. 1-3, but you know. His whip, though, 1.25 is, one and a quarter runners on each inning. This is a game, a series that the Orioles, should continue the momentum getting back into it. Tonight, Kramer's on the mound. A lot of rain in the forecast over the weekend. Sugano is on the mound on Saturday and on Sunday. Of course, Kyle Gibson to make his return from that disastrous start that he had on Tuesday, right, against the New York Yankees. That was Tuesday, yeah. So I like – what's up?
That was just bad.
I was there. Try being there.
Yeah, oh, my gosh.
You know, it was – you ever had something happen so bad that you just – all you could do was laugh?
Yeah.
I start laughing.
Yeah, I get it, man. That was just like, oof.
Are you freaking kidding me?
It was a crime scene.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
Oh, man.
There will be blood. There will be blood. Yeah, so hopefully the Orioles continue the momentum, taking 2 out of 3 from the New York Yankees. If they could just, listen, folks, just take 2 out of 3, climb your way back into this thing. Orioles right now on about 6 games under 500 at 12-18. Why does 12-18 look so much better than 11-17 when it's the same thing? It's 6 games under. But that didn't look 12 and maybe the curve of the 2. I don't know what it is. Yeah. It looks so much better than 11-17.
I know.
That's what they were. I don't know. I think this is a ball club that has to start hitting. I know what the pitching is, Ed, but they have to. If you're out on the mound and you know your ball club's going to put up 5-6 runs a game. And also, I think the key is scoring early. Get some early runs. Get some confidence in the pitcher. You know, I think you don't have top aces. So you got to help them out by scoring some early runs.
Yeah. Well, you do. Because we talk about this a lot because they're not. And when you score early runs or you get behind early, you know, whatever happens, it just affects the way you play the game. Mm-hmm. Both affects how pitchers take the, you know, pitch their game, because if they have no cushion, they get a little tight and try. They have to feel like they have to be perfect. And, you know, and then the players do the same thing, the position players, because if, you know, if you're behind, the guys start pressing, they're swinging their balls out of the, you know, out of the strike zone because they want so desperately to get a hit. And nobody, you can't, you don't have as good at bats or good approaches to the plate. It's just, it's not a good thing.
No, it's not at all. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. The Birds find themselves right now 5.5 games back of the New York Yankees in the American League East. 4 games back of the wild card. Rob, why are you looking at that already? Just because.
Yeah.
You know, what am I supposed to do? I mean, games count. Standings count. If we were 4 up, you want me to talk about it. So, you know, we're 4 back of the wild card right now with Cleveland, Houston. How about the Oakland Athletics and the Kansas City Royals being up there in the wild card standings, the top 4 teams in the wild card? So they get a chance. 17 to 15. I mean, that's not – it's 2 games over 500. I'm telling you, man, I just don't think – you could have a team in the playoffs this year with 85 wins. You know, that's not a lot of wins.
That's very possible.
It's seriously. Not. Yeah. Last year, Detroit made it with 86 wins. So did Kansas City. They each had 87 wins.
Yeah.
I mean, 86 wins, I'm sorry. The team with 85 wins was one game out, and that was Seattle. It can happen this year.
Yeah.
It could absolutely happen.
Yep. You know, the problem for the Orioles is always the problem for the Orioles is that, you know, if you look at the wild card standings, and that's you're right, we should be looking at that. Stop looking at, you know, games behind the first place team. However, when they list the wild card teams, you know, the ones from the American League East are, you know, some of the more prominent ones. I mean, they just, you still have to overcome the Blue Jays and the Rays. So and the Red Sox. I mean, they're all ahead of the Orioles, so they just got to, you know, overcome that.
And the good thing is you have them head-to-head, so you can handle that. You can take care of that business. Ed, who's the first hitter, in your opinion, that breaks out of this slump?
Slump.
Season-long, no doubt.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Mountcastle.
Okay.
Just think, you know, He's got more power than this. I think he was tight and pressing, and then finally, I think when he got back off the schneid with that home run, I think it may change his head. So we'll see.
I'm going with Gunner. Gunner's batting .228, OPS of .681. I think Gunner snaps out of this thing first. I think also Adley does, but I'm going with Gunner. I also think the trip to the IL may do Jordan Westberg some good when he comes back. Jordan Westberg is extremely, extremely intense. And I think sometimes that's a bad thing for him. I think often it's a bad thing for him. I think he needs to relax a little bit. He's an extraordinary athlete, extraordinary baseball player. But he looks wound up all the time. You know what I mean? Always tight, stern, focused. I would love to see him settle in a little bit. I used to joke and say if he's one of the four horsemen, he's Tully Blanchard or Dean Malenko, one of the ones that just never really smiles and jokes around. He's that guy. And I think I don't expect him to be a jokester, but I think if he's just relaxed a little bit, you will see an extraordinary baseball player come out. And I think he's carrying a lot of it on his shoulders.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is. They put a lot of pressure on themselves.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Joe LaCroix's encore is at 9:45, but on the other side, we're going to talk to our man around town. Cordell Woodland joins us up next on the Fan. Coming up on 9:30 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long joining us right now. Man on the scene. Courtesy of our Window Nation guest hotline, he is Cordell Woodland. What's up, Cordell?
What's going on, guys?
Nothing much, man. Hey, I read somewhere yesterday that no one got more value out of the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft than the Baltimore Ravens. Your thoughts on that comment?
I mean, well, if you look at their first 2 picks, you know, that those are, in a lot of people's minds, home run picks. I mean, Malachi Starks, arguably the best safety in the draft, and, you know, kind of similar to the Kyle Hamilton situation, it seems like the Ravens were surprised that he was there. I was honestly surprised that he and Eamon Ward lasted as long as they did. But there he was waiting for them right there, and he immediately, you know, transcends their defense because of how he impacts their best player in Kyle Hamilton and how they can use him. And they can use Malachi in a lot of the same situations. You watch his film, I mean, it's almost like you're watching some of Kyle Hamilton stuff with where he played at Georgia. He plays a lot in the box. He plays in the nickel, plays on the back end. He's a playmaker. He can guard receivers in the slot. He's a short tackler. So, I mean, he has a lot of the same characteristics. And, you know, Mike Green on the field, I mean, the dude's a dog. He led the nation in sacks with 17 last year.
I love him.
He plays behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, they needed game wreckers in that front seven that can get after the quarterback. He fits that bill. They needed somebody to help them generate more turnovers on the defensive side of the ball. He and Malachi should both help with that. I mean, if all goes well, just with those first two picks alone, they could be right.
And just what you said, I want to continue because I was thinking exactly that. It's, you know, between Malachi and Green, you get two stud defensive players. The Ravens, despite not having a premier pass rusher, was second in the league in sacks again last year. I don't know how they keep doing it, but, you know, for all the bitching about the Ravens pass rush, and I get, you know, sometimes against premier teams they're not, they had 54 sacks. So the addition of, you know, maybe the best pass rusher or the second best pass rusher in the draft, plus a great safety back there, I think the Ravens may have a top five offense and defense.
I mean, they could. They definitely could. A lot of things go into that health, obviously. And,
obviously.
You know, they got off to a slow start last year defensively that a lot of us didn't really see coming. I thought the secondary would be the strength of their defense. Turned out it was the weakest point. For at least the first month or so. So you never really know what can happen. And these are rookies, so they'll even have a learning curve. You know, it took Kyle about a month or so before he finally was able to be used as a Swiss Army knife, before he finally felt comfortable back there, as good as he was. I mean, he had a rough camp at times. He was getting beat up Isaiah Likely a lot during camp. So, I mean, it takes time for these guys. But no doubt, I mean, you talk about their sack production as a team the last couple of years. It's been there, but their issue has been situational pass rush. They haven't really been able to get to the quarterback on pivotal third downs. The pass rush isn't really getting them off the field. They're not generating turnovers. And then you get into January, and that pass rush is basically non-existent against the premier quarterback. So that's what they're hoping to fix. If the trade-off is, you know, they go from second or first in the league in sacks to maybe about eighth, but yet this is a team that's dangerous when you get into passing down situations. This is a team that all of a sudden starts ramping it up in pivotal moments in the game. I'll take that trade-off.
Here with Cordell Woodland joining us, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Speaking of slow starts, the Orioles are off to one themselves. 30 games into it, they find themselves at 12-18. We've debated. Jeremy once said he thought the pitching was the biggest issue. Ed agrees with me. I think the hitting is the biggest issue, and this is why, Cordell. We saw a stat last week when they played the Nats that they were 0-13 at the time in games scored under 4 runs. At that moment, before you played 30 games, you had that many games where you scored that such a small amount of runs. We knew what the pitching was going to be, and we expected to be with so many injuries. However, the hitting is the great disappointment. I think if the offense is better, your record is much better than that 12-18 record.
I completely agree. I mean, this is you look at this lineup, their calling card is, you know, their ability to hit and hit for power. And that hasn't necessarily been the case. They've been a middle of the pack home run team this year. They haven't really been a team that you can consistently rely on to score in general. Especially you look at their production against lefties, they're literally the worst hitting team in the league against left-handed pitchers. So that's not great. But I guess if you want to be optimistic, you look at these last few days, it's great to see them win that series against the Yankees at home. It's great to see them respond after that embarrassing loss on Tuesday night. They come back Wednesday and get the series win. But I like the fact that they've act, and Brandon had talked about this as well, the fact that they actually showed some sort of fight. And, you know, seeing Heston literally. Get all riled up, seeing Heston get riled up, I mean, I didn't think that really was much, but whatever gets the engine going, whatever gets it going for them, if that's what they needed, so be it. So, you know, it was good to see them. Even Wednesday, they give up the two runs in the first inning, and it's kind of like, up, here we go again. And what do? They respond with four in the second inning. That has been an issue for them. And if you think back to even just last year and even the year before, this was an Orioles team that was like, you never felt like they were out of the game. You never felt like there was a deficit that they couldn't overcome, whereas now – they get down two runs, you're almost ready to just call it a day. So that's been the positive thing here recently.
I was ready Wednesday. I'm not going to lie to you, Cordell. Yeah, I was ready to call it a day. When Aaron Judge hit that home run, my man, guess we lost
the
series. Yeah.
How could you not after what you watched Tuesday? You know, how could you not? It was easy for them to just pack it in. But they didn't. To their credit, they didn't. And it's one day at a time. They haven't really responded well off days to this point in the year, but you know, hopefully winning that series, the calendar turning over, maybe that'll be kind of the change that they need. And they are on the brink of getting healthier, at least with their pitching arms. But it doesn't matter if they're not going to be able to score on a consistent basis.
Cordell, with the Orioles, obviously, you know, struggling right now. But the American League doesn't look all that strong to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking, you look at the standings, even the Yankees 18-3rd, they don't look like a real strong first-place team in my eyes. The National League seems to have, the top heavy. The Mets, Cubs, Dodgers, Padres, they're all looking, I think, better than a lot of American League leaders. Do you think this is just plays well for the O's? Because they're really not that far out right now. If they do get the guys back, I'm assuming this, you only need is a wild card slot. So I don't know why people are just, you know, so down on it right now, because it's certainly not out of reach.
No, I mean, it's not out of reach at all. I mean, you can go back 2 years ago where the Rays got off to that hot start, and then, you know, middle of the season, the Orioles come back and lap them completely and end up being one of the hottest teams in baseball and winning the division. So without a doubt, it's definitely still plenty of time. But I think, you know, at least for me, I need to see more encouraging signs. I need more than, you know, the one-off game here or there where they look competent, where they look like a lineup that's going to be patient at the plate and actually hit the ball and score some runs. I need that on a consistent basis right now. And you, look, everybody talks about their injuries. Realistically, they're not going to be as close to fully healthy as possible until we get to like mid to back end of the summer at best right now. Yeah. So my thing is, I haven't seen enough from this offense to this point to make me believe that they're going to be able to carry them for the next 2 months or so to keep them in the fight. Maybe they will. I look at this team right now and can't help but think that I'm watching a 500 baseball team. And maybe they'll be better than that. Maybe they get hot and get better and they end up being better than that. I hope so. But just from what I've seen, and granted, it's only a month and some change, I haven't been able to see that consistency that I'm looking for. So hopefully their stars end up waking up on a consistent basis. Maybe Adley, who's been getting on base here frequently over the last 9 games, hopefully that continues. Whenever Westberg gets back, hopefully he's able to kind of ramp up. Gunner, you know, he's hitting the ball hard, but hopefully the production starts to come. They need their core guys to lead this team. And once they start doing that, I'll be one of the quickest ones to start believing again.
Cordell, where can we find you on social media and also on air next?
Yeah, you can follow me at Cordell Woodland on all social medias. Me and Ben, we had our Fresh Take episode last night. We'll be back again next Thursday. So, you know, I'll be on shows throughout the week on the station as well, so you never know when you'll hear me. But I'll be out at the yard tonight as the Orioles get started against the Royals. Yeah, and then Sunday at minicamp, you know, at the Castle.
Exactly.
So it's a lot going on these days.
Hey, you have no idea how much you do.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Cordell.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, bud. Let's go to Baltimore, man, and get Trippy. What's up, Trippy?
Actually, I'm not in Baltimore. I'm actually in Odison, Maryland.
What's up, man? Ain't that far.
Hey, it's far from Baltimore. I can't walk to Baltimore City, can I? But no, I wanted to talk about the Orioles real quick. Like, what's up, Ed? I like what y'all are saying, right?
What's up,
Trippy? I don't like how y'all saying wild card, because like not like the last couple times we've been to the wild card, you know how the wild card is. If we can't win two games, we're done, right? And yesterday I was trying to call in, but I forgot because I was trying with some Madden. What's it called? What's that group called? The tickets y'all giving out?
Metallica. You want to go badly. You don't know the names. Metallica.
Yeah, man. Yeah, because I just want to go stop and see It's the Same Man live. But
The
Orioles, right? I think if I had to choose between, I mean, not the Orioles, my bad, the Ravens, right? If I had to choose between Kyle and Tyler, I'd let Tyler walk. Because I kept telling Ravens fans, man, at that Buffalo game, good thing Patrick McCurry gone, but I feel like Tyler Linderbaum, the wicked swing, he's too small on the line, man. He's too small. But that's just my opinion, though, man. But, hey, I might go to the Orioles game today. I don't know, man. I've been getting offered to go to the Orioles game.
Did they win the last time you went?
Actually, the last time I went to the Orioles game was the playoffs game, Rob. Don't make me mad.
No, stay home then. Hello? Stay your ass home. Stay home.
All right, so look, what about the Ravens, though? The Ravens make the playoffs, I should stay home, too, because they saying I'm bad luck.
Well, they said it must be true. Man, Trippy, go to the game, man. It's Friday. Go to the game, man.
I might, man. I'm trying to find me a girlfriend, man. I don't know, man.
No,
I don't
know.
But, hey, y'all have a great Friday, though, all right, man? I'll catch y'all later.
All right, man.
Save your money.
Yeah.
Don't get a girlfriend. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tomorrow is the beginning of rain through Thursday. 48%, 45% chance tomorrow, 75% chance on Sunday, 75% chance on Monday, 70 on Tuesday, 35 on Wednesday, 45 on Thursday. I hope we get the weekend series in.
Yeah. Damn, I was thinking about that.
Let me ask you a question, Ed, hypothetically speaking, because I can't shave until they sweep a series. If they win tonight and don't play Saturday and Sunday, is that a sweep?
Dude, I think you're going to look like James Harden pretty soon.
Oh, my God. And that's the encore for the day, Ed Norris.
Absolutely. Encore brought to you by the Lion's Den. Explore your curiosity and keep that spark alive. It's a great adult toy store. I've bought a ton of stuff from them. The usual things that you would imagine, but the things like robes and clothing and books and games. And it's just it's a great atmosphere. It's good for couples. It's good for everybody. So check out Lion's Den.
Ed, tell us what you learned today.
A couple of days. Just one thing quickly. Mike Sullivan just got signed by the Rangers. He's the former two-time Stanley Cup winner, coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So they just signed him right after he left the Penguins. They parted their ways. And I just want to go over, we talk about stuff all the time, like exit velocity and angle and slugging percentage and OPS and all this stuff. I just want to explain how some of these things work, like slugging. Quick math for people, because I guarantee most people don't know. Our real fans would know. What they do is they assign a number to each hit. A single's worth 1 point, double two, et cetera, et cetera. So say you had 100 at-bats, 20 singles, that's 20 points, right? Six doubles, one triple, five home runs. That adds up to 55 hits, but a lot of extra base hits in there. All you do is divide that by 100, and then you have a 550 percentage. That's it. It's not like this all this mysterious stuff. It's just all they do is add values to the different hits.
And that's why they value OPS more, because all hits aren't created equal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's your on base and you got on base percentage, which is self-explanatory, slugging percentage, and then the on base plus slugging is at the end there. Yep.
Thank you very much. For those of you riding around, I ride on 695 a lot. You see the sign that says Brave Mave is above. It's like your little solo cups written out, Brave Mave. That's for a little girl who lost her battle with cancer back in January 22nd. to be quite to be specific. And joining us right now is her father, Ken Davis. Good morning to you, Ken.
Good morning, Rob. I'm actually her grandfather.
Her grandfather, I'm sorry.
Okay. Don't worry.
Could you tell us a little bit about the Brave Maeve project, about Maeve, to be honest with you?
Yeah. Like, what it is basically, she had been diagnosed with cancer back in November of 2023, and it's been obviously a long, hard battle, and she was quite the little warrior, and so much entailed to it. I mean, geez, over time, I think she probably spent 170 days or so in hospitals with chemotherapy and all the different treatments, before, you know, she succumbed to, the cancer in my mind and, you know, a lot of other people that, she went to sit with God and be pain free, and her mission was completed here on earth. As far as the cups, that was something I came up with or thought of the night she had passed away, and decided to put, and essentially to honor her strength and her parents, Adam and Emma, and her little sister, because it obviously involves more than just Maeve. So I came up with the idea the night she passed away, and then that morning, it was about 14 degrees out, it was a cold day, put up the Brave Maeve, initially it was Brave Maeve Cancer Crush, and then subsequent cup art signs that said more money for kids cancer, because it's a very underfunded research for kids cancer.
Unbelievable what you're doing right now. And Ed, I'll send you some pictures that he said Ken sent me. This kid already diagnosed with cancer. You can tell she's struggling to live. And in every picture, she has a smile on her face. Still enjoying life, man. Yep. Still loving life. Yeah. And I love those pictures, but to be honest with you, Ken, I love them.
You're welcome. And that was, you know, part of the testament. I mean, she has a public Facebook page that Em and Adam have put together, and people were always amazed that, and it's extreme pain. I mean, people don't get it. You never get it. But the amount of pain that children or even adults, but children especially, endure. And I think, you know, with Maeve, just having been, you know, raised in this area, lived here forever and been involved with sports and lots of different things. But a lot of people, that would be the biggest thing, the takeaway, Rob, was she's always smiling.
Yeah.
Even when she was in pain and, you know, you turn a little kid's life upside down, she always had a smile, yeah. You know. And I think one of the pictures I think I sent you was, I am brave. I am strong. I can do hard things. She's got the biggest smile. And it was actually after she was kind of running out in front of our house and tripped and fell. And if you look at the picture closely, she has a Band-Aid on her finger. But that's the resilience of not just her, but, I mean, there's 15,000 kids every year get diagnosed with cancer. And their families, I mean, it's like a cold slap in the face. It's like all of a sudden you're like, you go from everything's normal to everything's not normal,
right,
you know.
Right.
So it's quite the journey. And, you know, I always tell people that when we talk about the more money for kids cancer, out of all cancer research, when the children are the innocent ones, 45 to 50% of cancers are lifestyle cancers, where adults have choices, but kids do not. They're the innocent ones, and only 4% of the cancer research budget goes to pediatric cancer, which I think is just absurd.
Wow. Hey, Ken, tell us why today of all days is extra special for you and your family.
Well, today is, we're celebrating Maeve's fifth birthday. She was born on May 2nd. So we're having a celebration that we're going to be doing from like 1:30, 2 o'clock on. Whole family will be getting together and remembering her big smile and knowing she's still with us. Last year for her birthday, her fourth birthday, she was at DC National Children's Hospital getting bone marrow transplants and chemotherapy and all that. So this will be the first one where, in the last 2 years, where she's pain-free. When she was three, that was the last time she was, you know, her little self. And, you know, she was always her little self, even when she was sick.
Again, thanks a lot for sharing your story with us, man. Appreciate you.
You're welcome, Rob. Jeremy, you guys have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. You. You can go to Facebook Thank page. You. It's public. Just search Brave Maeve, M-A-E-V-E, M-A-E-V-E. And such a brave little girl, man. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always amazing. Children's cancer is so heartbreaking. I mean, it's, I'm just stating the obvious, but you watch these kids, and they are. The bravery they show, and like, it's just remarkable. It really is. And just puts life into perspective for you think you have problems.
Vinny and Haney up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful and blessed weekend.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.